David's Daily Digital Dollop, Dollop 252. Let's talk about socks. This is probably going to be a really short dollop because I have no time to write anything. My plan was to spend the train journey writing, but when I got on the train, the seats were all taken. You'll have to take my word for that, in lieu of any CCTV footage. Oh, I know that Corbyn train gate jokes are a bit old hat now, but, you know, I haven't got the time to think of anything more original or clever, so that's the best you're getting, sorry. Last week, I managed to write a dollop from the train with no free seats by finding some space underneath the luggage rack and then sitting on the floor with my laptop on my crossed legs. But this train was too packed even to afford me any floor seating space, so I had to stand while people jostled for space, rubbing themselves against me. So it wasn't all bad then. I then had to wait at the station for my connecting train. I searched for a seat, but they were all taken. I needed somewhere to sit so that I could get my laptop out and hurriedly write today's dollop. I found a narrow metal bar. It wasn't very comfortable. It was angled so that I kept nearly falling off it. But bloggers can't be choosers. That's a good line, I thought. Something which I'm sure you're all thinking right now. I must remember to write it in today's dollop. So I got out my laptop to make a note of my hilarious play on words and to make a start on the blog. But it was impossible. The bar was too angled and the laptop kept falling off my lap. I would have to wait until I got on the next train, where I would have just half an hour to write something. The next train did have seats free, but when I sat down, a new problem presented itself. There were no double seats free, only seats next to someone, or shared table seats. I opted for one of the table seats, and was about to pull out my laptop when, "Lovely day for it," came the elderly posh-sounding voice of the man on the seat opposite me. I think you'll agree. I conveyed an elderly posh-sounding voice very well there. "Lovely day for it," came the elderly posh-sounding voice of the man on the seat opposite me. I wasn't sure exactly what the "it" was that it was a lovely day for, but I didn't have time to get into a discussion about it. So I muttered my agreement as politely as I could. But the trouble is that I am too polite and self-conscious to snub someone's invitation for a conversation. So despite needing to get immediately to work on the dollop, I nevertheless was unable to merely give a non-committed grunt, indicating to the man my disinterest in talking to him. Instantly, I felt awkward and guilty about my lacklustre response to his friendly, "Lovely day for it." And my next course of action was to do all I could to redress my initial weak offering. Even though I knew that if I didn't get this dollop written on the train, then I would have to do it while I was out, and thus be extremely antisocial. But I'd be being antisocial with close friends, and that, for some reason, doesn't make me feel as uncomfortable as ignoring a complete stranger's small talk. My brain was sending me messages that this man and everyone else in the carriage was now looking at me and judging me as a dull, antisocial misery. It was now up to me to save the situation, turn it around, and show them that I was no such thing. "Yes, my friend," I said, with piles of enthusiasm. "It certainly is. So," I clapped my hands. I didn't have to tell you that because I clapped my hands in real life. Obviously, on the written version, I can't really do that, but I just clap my hands. I don't even have to read out and clap my hands. But you might have thought the clap wasn't intentional. I want you to know that it very much was. I'm reading Braille as well, so I had to clap my hands, and then I had to quickly go back to the Braille and read me saying, "I clap my hands." So, I mean, you don't see behind the scenes here what goes on, but it's quite impressive, and I was quite pretty dexterous there. Hands on the Brailler, reading. Straight away. Clap, back onto the Brailler. No messing. "Yes, my friend," I said with piles of enthusiasm. "It certainly is. So," I clapped my hands. "To where are you bound, my friend?" I jovially intoned. No, now I've gone too far the other way. I was sounding far too energetic and excitable for a casual bit of small talk with a stranger on a train. I tried to compensate for my earlier taciturn response, but had clearly overcompensated. I'd been far too loud and energetic, called him my friend twice, which was a bit desperate, and clapped my hands. Why am I clapping my hands? And why did I say, "So, to where are you bound?" Who says, "To where are you bound?" Where are you off to, then? Would have been more conventional, rather than loudly inquiring, "To where are you bound, my friend?" with great relish. I'd also employed a weird sing-song posh accent. I've no idea why. Maybe I thought it gave me a more cheery, friendly manner. But actually, it just made me sound odd. The man told me to where he was bound, and then we fell into conversation. I instantly decided to ditch the weird posh sing-song voice, assuming that he'd soon forget about it once he'd become distracted by my scintillating conversation. scintillating it wasn't. My mind was on the dollop, and the fact that I was going to have to somehow write it while I was out and ignore my friends. I've no idea how we got onto the topic, but he was talking about the fact that he had to buy a new pair of socks, because when he woke up this morning, he discovered that there was a hole in one of them. I then became aware of the sound of my own voice, saying, "Yeah, I always get holes in my socks. I don't know how it happens. I don't remember them having a hole in when I take them off, but when I put them back on again, then there's a hole." What the hell was I blabbering on about? Both me and the man gave almost identical, timid, joyless laughs. It was like that. We both did that. The readers will just have to use their own imagination there. But you got a unique insight there. I bet you're glad you listened to the audio version now. I'm not sure why we laughed. It wasn't very funny what I'd said, but I suppose it just felt like the right thing to do. If he'd have said the story about waking up to find a hole in his sock, and then I'd countered with, "Oh, darn it," then that would have been very different. Then we'd have had a good reason to laugh. But I was being altogether too dull for that kind of hilarious wordplay. I wondered what the people near must have been thinking of us. They must have thought we were the most boring people on the planet. I accept that you were thinking that right now, having just listened to this dollop. I did say that it was going to be a short dollop, though, didn't I? And it was actually over 1,000 words long. Anyway, thank you for listening. Goodbye. I'm getting out of the cupboard now.